My name's Pat Dawson. I'm a chartered engineer by training. I've worked in industry all my professional life in pipeline design. I've got a doctorate in computational fluid dynamics and have worked and schooling, basically been through the very English education system.
So when you were at primary school, did you have any real memory of any history teaching whatsoever?
I don't. I think this is going to be a recurring theme through both primary and secondary schooling, is that the teaching methods were all very similar. The content was, or the subjects were all tended to be sort of content driven. So that the only thing that I can sort of think back and anything that's memorable is either something unusual that we did or something about the personality of the teacher. The actual content, the subjects, I honestly can't pick out a huge amount.
Did you study history mixed in with other subjects, do you think, as topics?
I think in primary school it was very much story driven. So I suspect we did history stories and Bible stories and stories.
Mm.
Must have had a sort of very traditional 1950s 3Rs. And obviously everything was going to be geared through to year 11 plus. That was going to be the sort of almost the be-all and end-all of primary school, was whether or not you got past year 11 plus. Whether you went on to the local secondary mod, or whether you got into grammar school, or in my case I got a grant to go through, I passed my 11 plus and got a grant to go to the local direct grant school.
So when you were at primary school, can you remember any unusual trips?
Well, the odd things are very much the trips. We did a week's residential in my final year at primary school. We did a week's residential in the Isle of Wight. I remember going to Carisbrook Castle, and as I put in the interview form, the thing I remember there was the doing things, so that we had to, there was some sort of donkey driven mill, and it was working out how far a donkey would walk in the day. And there was a well, you had to drop pebbles down the well and time them. And so it was very much the sort of doing things. I remember we went to Oxford to the theatre to see the ballet, La Fée Malgardée. And we stopped off at Dorchester Abbey en route. I remember that we did music and movement in the hall. And, you know, this was a big thing. This was the only sort of unusual, non-classroom driven activity in primary school, was going into the hall, and we had the big wireless at the front, or not sure whether but a huge big thing, you know, about sort of 2 foot tall and dark brown, and you did music and movement, you know, on the radio, and you know, remember those sort of things. But it is very much remembering the things that were atypical rather than anything specific that happened in sort of any of the subjects.
So when you moved on to secondary school, do you remember history as a distinct subject there?
I do, in the sense that everything was sort of very very distinct subjects. And bearing in mind, again, you know, this was a very much a sort of driven school. So that the person that only got 7 O-levels was considered to be, you know, the bottom of the band. And the fact that she actually wanted to be a nurse rather than a doctor was sort of rather confirmed the school's opinion. So it was very much this sense that, you know, you were driving all the time. You were driving to get your O-levels, your A-levels, you were, or Cambridge entrance, or... so that the subjects all the time were, you know, about passing exams.
And do you remember your history teachers that you had at secondary school?
Not I sort of remember them in the sense that if you got the big long school picture out, you know, I would be able to pick them out. But in terms of history itself, there are just a few odd things that I remember. I remember dyeing a piece of paper with tea to do, again, something unusual, something different, to do something for, I assume it was probably Magna Carta or something. So that, again, at high school, what I remember is very much more the unusual things. The school trips to Wembley for the international hockey.
Mm-hmm.
The school trips to Stratford-on-Avon for Shakespeare.
One thing that interested me in your survey form was that you said history was one of those subjects that was doable because it was more certain.
No, it was safe.
Safe, that's right.
Safe was how I felt about it. The 1960s presumably was probably sort of doesn't fit in terms of education, probably doesn't fit particularly in what was happening in the political world, you know, given that we just had a war and, you know, the sort of Russian crises and things that were sort of going on in terms of the big picture. But 1960s education, looking back, seems to have a huge certainty about it. And of course, I was at a C of E school, so that, you know, there was a certainty about religion, there was a certainty about history, there was a certainty about being British. To the extent that, it doesn't seem to fit in with now what I see as to what was happening politically at the time, but this sense that it was a very sort of certain, secure time. And the nice thing about doing history was that it was very factual, it was very certain. You didn't have to express an opinion, you didn't have to have a passable accent. You didn't have to sort of interpret or précis or whatever.
So that's contrasting it with English.
It was just stuff.
Yeah.
Yes, you see, French, a lot of people in our school had holidays in France, which at that time, of course, wasn't the norm in, you know, cultural terms. It was a very expensive option in those days. So a lot of the girls actually had French accents. So the fact that I didn't have a French accent, in terms of English, being able to sort of interpret emotion in poems or in plays or literature wasn't a strength.
Mm.
Whereas history was very much like Latin. You know, it was very safe. You know, Latin, you just had to be able to decline things or conjugate things. English literature I got on, English grammar I got on with fine.
Mm.
Because, again, it was very certain and very factual. Now, obviously, in the context, I went on to do maths, physics, chemistry, and went on to do engineering. But history fitted in that mould, as far as I was concerned. It was just certainty. It was facts. It was very safe.
Did you find the facts interesting?
Yes, but interestingly, totally unmemorable, in the sense that there were just loads of them. I know that in, you know, the beginning of what would now be Key Stage 3, I started with the Normans and, you know, William the Conqueror and medieval peasant life. And I know that at some point in O-level, I did 19th century political history. And I'm particularly hot on the 1832 Reform Act. Well, actually, I'm not. I can remember the title, the 1832 Reform Act, and I can remember bits about pot wallopers and things like that.
Mm.
But again, totally just odd, random facts. I have a huge sense that I had a sort of very good, solid English education. But actually, thinking, it's actually totally unmemorable. And what it seems to mean is that if there's something on the television or I read something, I have a sense of it. but I couldn't tell you what it was. As in, I know the 1832 Reform Act was something. So that if I saw a bit on the television or a bit in newspaper about it, I would sort of have somewhere to put it, but wouldn't be able to tell you anything about it or why it was significant or what it did or what it changed for who or whom or...
Mm. Can you remember the textbooks and things that you had to support the work?
In the sort of Key Stage 3 equivalent, there were an awful lot of line drawings in them. I mean, obviously, in the 60s, again, everything was in black and white. Mm. The books had an awful lot of line drawings in, and I think they were quite smallish, sort of A5 size.
So what sort of work did you do? Tests, essays, a lot of writing, question answer, what sort of things did you do?
Basically, a lot of writing. I mean, the whole of my... secondary school, you know, was based up because at the end of the day, you know, it was all geared to the fact that you're going to pass an exam. Mm-hmm. So it was all written stuff. We had school exams in every subject twice a year, Christmas and summer.
Mm-hmm.
And that went on from, you know, being 11 or 12, whatever age I went, all the way through to A-level.
Mm-hmm. Can you remember anything about the history exams at all?
No.
Just like the others. When you finished O-level, looking back, did you feel it was worth doing? Can you remember? Or was it just one of those subjects you'd done?
It was just something that I did. I mean, I've got 10 O-levels, plus the statutory ones that you did in lower sixth, you know, of use of English and general papers and things, and I've got 4 A-levels. Mm. And, you know, that's what secondary schooling was about.
So, looking back, do you think there's any value in your school history?
I can understand, in some respects, where Prince Charles comes from, in that sense that it gives you a sense of what has happened in Britain, in the same way that I've read the statutory things that you read, you know, in literature.
Mm.
So I have done, you know, I did however many Shakespeare's a year for 5 years. But in terms of actually giving me any understanding of what happened, no, I mean, I've learnt more through sitting in on Ian's courses in the last 2 years. I've learnt more history in terms of how historical skills and also understanding in terms of how things change, why they change, the fact they do change, the fact that if you look back on something with hindsight, it would be different from how you felt about it at the time, or it might be different.
Mm.
I've learnt far more about this in the last 2 years of travelling and attending Ian's courses than I ever learnt at the time. Because, as I say, that history was taught with this great certainty.
When you were an adult, a young adult, did you have any interest in history at all, or did you just dismiss it? That was it. You pursued your science career, and or did you retain some sort of leisure interest?
It was a leisure interest in the fact that I would think, you know, we've done a significant proportion of every English heritage and National Trust property, you know, in this country.
Mm.
I've an interest, particularly structural interest, in castles and cathedrals, so how they were built, why they were built, sorry, not particularly why they were built, but how they were built, how they stayed up, why some of them didn't stay up, so that there is a sort of engineering interest, which fortunately obviously maps over with Ian's interest, you know.
Yeah. In medieval history.
So... So it's always been a very convenient thing. And, you know, when our son was small, you know, castles are a great place to go and visit, because there's tons of things to do and see. plus the fact there's loads of open space that you can run around in. So, you know, it's always been convenient.
So if you were, when you advised your own son, did you advise him to do history or not?
Well, I think I'm not sure whether that's a sort of very valid question. Ian wanted Matthew to do sciences so that I could do the homework. And I think probably more importantly, I could take the front line when we were doing parents' evening visits. And I wanted Matthew to do the art side, you know, for the same reasons.
Which did he choose?
He went on to... he's done classical civilization at university. And having gone all through teenage years saying there was one thing he was never going to do, and that was be a teacher, and that's final, he's starting a PGCE at Oxford in September.
Okay.
History.
Oh, that's wonderful. And perhaps that's a victory for both of you in some ways. So, is there anything further you'd like to add?
Well, I think... I feel of my generation, I've been exceptionally fortunate in being able to see how history is taught and what the components of history are in schools today. And I mean, it bears no resemblance to anything that I ever did. Last year, Angela Leonard, the chief examiner for EdExcel, took me through one of the exam papers that they'd had, which was, I think it was something about the role of the historian. It was looking at source material, and it was an investigative question about why the village of, I think it's Dunwich, went out of, it was a thriving port in medieval times, and so a lot of it's actually now slipped under the sea. But it was an investigative source question. And I kept thinking, you know, I'm an intelligent woman. I've got a doctorate in computational fluid dynamics. I mean, it's not often you can get that into the conversation. And yet I found this incredibly stretching and challenging to do. It was the fact I was comparing information from a sort of three or four sources. You know, what did the different sources tell me, which was more reliable? How did they collectively give me an answer? And looking at questions like that. And basically realising that these were actually skills that were being taught, so that not only was I learning historical or factual information about a period, but also I was learning I was actually learning useful skills, whether you use them in research or whether, you know, it's comparing how two different newspapers report the same event today.
So do you wish you'd been taught like that at school?
I would have been tremendous, because I think in the 60s the whole point was that everything was implicit. And whether or not you were good at exams was actually something you found out yourself. The school gave you lots of opportunities to take exams, but there weren't anything like, you know, exam revision skills. Nobody actually sort of sat down and taught you how to effective revision. Nobody ever taught you any skills. They taught you loads and loads of stuff. I've got stuff coming out of my ears, which occasionally I can remember. But at the end of the day, there was nothing to hang the stuff on, so that in terms of how I understand memory now works, there was nothing different or hook-like or memorable to make memory work. It was just you poured more and more and more stuff in. You examined it twice a year. And it was the reuse of it that kept it in memory.
Mm.
And because I don't use it now, it's totally unmemorable. Mm. And I find what I currently observe in terms of history education tremendously exciting, because all the stuff is still going on. You know, you're still learning about kings and battles and everyday life and things like that. But it's no longer all implicit. Sorry, the skills are no longer implicit.
No.
So we're actually being taught, you know, proper skills. I sat and Dale Bannum was saying that with Key Stage 3, he did a session with a group of Key Stage 3 kids about oratory skills.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's only sort of relatively recently that, like watching West Wing, that I'd realised the role of speech writers in politics and all the skills that the speech writers use to make their politician speeches, have presence. And Dale was doing this with 14-year-olds. You know, the 10 recognisable tricks or oratory skills, sorry, rather than tricks, that have been used from sort of classical Roman times onwards.
Mm.
So that I feel actually in some respects quite cheated by my education, because say it was very stuff centred, but there was no appreciation of historical skills or oratory skills, or you know, the content was God.
Mm. Thank you very much. I'll finish there.
Yes.
Okay.